Well, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry last week when shopping with Mandy at Fish Week Markets when I sighted the notorious Advent beer carton calendar offering us 24 beers, one for each day of Advent. I didn't quite do the maths on it, but it seemed to work. Now, I don't mind a beer, and I'm all for new cultural expressions of faith, but I did feel that something of the intent of Advent might have been lost in the translation. I suspect a reminder that we struggle to wait, us Aussies, and perhaps a beer can help us as we wait, but invariably with most Aussies that leads to another one. Because at the heart of Advent is that we actually do take time to wait, to slow down and to focus on our walk with God. The invitation to Advent is that we are waiting, preparing our hearts for the coming of Christmas, for the coming birth of Jesus. And we go through this time of waiting in solidarity with other people of faith, people longing for God's intervention in their lives, longing, waiting for that something from God that would change everything. And yet at the same time, we're not quite sure of what that something will look like. During Advent, Christians often reflect on the prophecies of Scripture and all that it means for people of faith to hope in God. And we read about people longing for an end to oppression and slavery, longing for a renewed connection with God, to be reconciled with God. And there are all sorts of metaphors and images that we draw on. I don't have a tattoo, but I am drawn to Isaiah 11 and verse 6 there. It's a beautiful image. Leopards will lie down with young goats, and wolves will rest with lambs. Calves and lions will eat together and be cared for by little children. It's a beautiful image. It doesn't actually say the lion and the lamb, but the lion and the lamb and the sense of these predatory animals lying down with these very vulnerable animals is a beautiful image that speaks to us of a hope that looks forward to this all-permeating peace that transcends the created order. I suspect as New Testament Christians that we're more familiar with the images the New Testament writers present to us with a vision of hope. And there are some deeply intimate images of the hope we have in Christ that speak to us of becoming children of God, and even more personally of becoming sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters who have a wonderful inheritance to look forward to in God. Well, these images, they can captivate us and inspire us, and they can kind of help us to look forward to the fact that there is more to come. We know from our own faith experiences that we have tasted something of that incredible and unexpected impact that Jesus has made on the world. That's my tattoo design that Mandy won't let me have. Probably a good thing. We know that through Christ we have savoured something very deep within us. A connection has been made with us, a grace, an encounter with love, a love that we've never known before, a love that has the potential to bring renewal and transformation into our lives. And we see these. We see the manifestations of this love and this grace in all sorts of ways. We see it in our own lives as we grow through our faith. We see it in those that we do community with, in the churches that we belong to. But only we know that if we are truly honest with ourselves, we know there must be more to come, don't we? We know that deep within there is a very real lag between those images of hope and all that we harbour. We're still waiting to see what it would be like if we could open more of ourselves to God. So this Advent season then is about waiting on God, taking time out for self-examination, allowing ourselves to quietly speak out the truth that the systems and narratives of our world don't really cut it for us. That there are aspects to us, patterns and habits we know that are not helping us. They're still trapping us, oppressing us, and fueling that deep longing for God. So we're going to take some time, just in the few minutes we've got together, to reflect a little on that reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. I must admit I was quite impressed with the writers of the lectionary. They certainly aren't shy in getting us into the Advent message of week one and the theme of hope with that very confronting text. But you might remember the words Paul read to us, that our text picks up on Jesus identifying powerful and confronting signs of great calamity within our world. Signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth. Distress among the nations, they'll be confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. And these are signs that speak to us of our faith and our awareness of God's nearness to us. This passage from Luke 21 is a part of a larger teaching section from Jesus. He's teaching in the temple, and he's teaching about the eschaton, that is, the last days. And he's encouraging his listeners to stand firm, and this leads into a brief discussion about the future of the temple. Jesus tells his listeners, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know its desolation has come near. Those in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those inside the city must leave it, and those out in the country must not enter it, for these are days of vengeance. We're told there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be taken away as captives among all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles. And then what follows is Jesus shifts from Jerusalem to a much broader vision of the wider world. And the passage before us this morning of those signs in the sun, moon, the stars, the waves, and the seas follows. It's helpful, I think, to know something of the historical context, to understand the movement in the passage. Jesus was speaking to the Jewish people, people who were largely oppressed and dominated by the Romans. And we know the Romans were frustrated by the constant infighting, the revolts and the rebellious activities within those various Jewish sects. And eventually it would be the Zealots who would take the fight up to the Romans. And Jesus' advice was very sound. He gave the call to flee to the mountains, to run for your lives as the wrath of the Romans was eventually unleashed on Jerusalem. And this was very sad, very tragic. It was a few years, this campaign, its fulfillment, but it resulted in great carnage. There were hundreds of thousands of lives lost, and the destruction of the second temple was realised in 70 AD. Well, as terrible and as devastating as this news would have been to Jesus' hearers, he moves quickly into a bigger concern, a concern that speaks of a more global vision of destruction involving signs in the sun, moon, the stars, the waves, and the seas. These signs that Jesus speaks of are indeed very real to us, aren't they? At this present time, many of us are rather perplexed and worried from the very blatant politicisation of how the issues around climate change and global warming are playing out in our world. Our politicians seem more interested in economic rationalism, how they're going to pay for stuff, than really confronting what Prime Minister Kevin Rudd mentioned and said, and was a bit of a rallying cry when he called climate change the greatest moral challenge of our time. And in recent years, in the last decade or so, we are very aware of some of these very catastrophic events that have influenced our concerns. I mentioned the Boxing Day tsunami. I mentioned that not so much that I think there's a correlation, some of you might be able to help me with that, between earthquakes and global warming, but more the outcome was so devastating to those very vulnerable people. The poorest of the poor often have to live in the very low-lying areas which are quite often prone to flooding. And of course, with the tsunamis that came, we saw the great tragedy of that Boxing Day tsunami, as literally hundreds of thousands of the poorest of the poor were killed across 14 countries. With global warming, we are seeing the intensity in these super hurricane and cyclone cells that are forming out in the ocean. We remember Hurricane Katrina and the demolition of New Orleans and the surrounding states in the US. And we seem to be hearing and encountering many more great fires across our land. Only a few weeks back, we were dealing with the demise of much land and the loss of life in California. And of course, over the last few weeks, our fellow Aussies have been braving and fighting these ferocious fires across Queensland. We certainly seem to be hearing a lot more about these sorts of weather-related issues. And the science seems very complete and very, well, there's certainly a consensus with most of the international science agencies that global warming and climate change are very real issues that need to be taken seriously. It's interesting the timing of this reading this morning, because we do take some heart that efforts are happening as the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change is meeting this week in Poland to continue to flesh out the Paris Agreement of 2015 and hopefully put some meat on the bones of that and encourage us with some action of what that will look like. But of course, there's some key countries that are still sort of jostling around and politicising this agreement and the process. But we hope and pray it will be something that will bring some very real outcomes to our world and put some good measures in place to certainly slow down global warming. I hope you took as much encouragement as I did this week from our school kids who went on strike. I thought that was very, very powerful, very brave. I was very inspired by the rallies that school kids staged in most of the capital cities, I'm led to believe, and it was just great to see such a passion for our world, for our earth, from the next generation of leaders, ultimately. And, you know, rather embarrassingly calling out our leaders on their inaction. Please do pray for our world. Please pray for our world leaders to respond to these signs that we are seeing in our world. Remember, it's the world that God pronounced good, and you'll find that in the very first chapter of the Bible. And it's a world that's loved by God, that he sent his son into it. Yet as influenced as I am as I hear Jesus' words, that there will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves, people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. And as I observe the extent of the damage in our world, I have to tell you, I do feel faint. I do feel overwhelmed. Just a week or so back, Mandy and I were watching a very excellent documentary on the ABC about the Galapagos, I was practicing that pronunciation, I still can't get it quite right, the Galapagos Islands, where of course Charles Darwin went and was inspired in his theory of evolution. But a beautiful region, very, very pristine, and very unique place. The animals haven't left as humans have come. They've actually kind of, they're doing life together. Some of you may have been there. But very beautiful. You had things like penguins and sea lions sort of sitting on park benches. It was kind of quite very gorgeous. And these incredible seabirds just coexisting with humans in the streets. And this beautiful respect for the animals as they kind of shared life. It was quite profound. Yet as gorgeous as all of that was, the documentary went on and did some tests of local beaches and revealed deeply disturbing levels of the presence of plastics within the water. And they were very pronounced, these tests, that the plastic was all around the ecology, certainly in the tummies of a lot of the fish and the animals. It was all very distressing, I have to say. And we know that these wretched plastics just literally take years, perhaps even centuries, to actually dissipate. I felt very overwhelmed and very unable to feel that I can do a lot. I suspect that many of us have lost hope in the lack of intent from our leaders, who often only reflect an intent to keep on exploiting our natural resources. Over my time in Sydney these last few years, I've wondered on more than a few occasions just how on earth we can keep fitting so many people in there and still maintain the services and lifestyle that we have come to expect as normal. And I wonder if in that there lies some of the real issues of how we have become so obsessed with the first world lifestyle and the opulence and demands that are associated with that. For many of us, and I have to put myself squarely in this group, we often run around trying to maintain our homes, our cars, our phones. We're demanding now that Uber bring us our food, and we sit back on our couches and flick from Netflix to Stan and back to Apple, consuming all that energy. And we spend all this energy ourselves just trying to keep up with all of that. And you've got worry warts like me that are so easily swept up in the melee. And before too long, we've slipped away from following the alternative way that Jesus has given us. We get so caught up in appearances, demands of social media, trying to live out of an identity that's not really true to our inner self. It's no wonder that many of us go to the spirit of the vine or the Advent beer slab to numb us into being able to keep plodding on, to keep maintaining appearances. Well, in these moments, I know I'm doing exactly what Jesus said we would do. He said that when people see these signs, those rising floodwaters, the raging storms, the warming of the oceans, the plastic in the seas, then people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. People will be frozen with fear. They'll feel helpless and paralysed. They'll wake in the night and feel sick. In their despair, they will do nothing. But there's also a rebuke I hear from Jesus. Because passivity and despair are not what Jesus demands of his people. People will faint from fear, but when these things begin to take place, we are to stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Be on guard, he says, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. So what do we do with these challenges? How do we keep that vital hope in the Lord? That hope that responds to God's call, leading us into the fullness of life. A hope that wants us to be spirit-filled people who'll be able to respond to these calamities in our world, to be able to live out the mission of God and to be found faithful. Well, I'm hoping you're steering away from the Advent beer calendar. But I do believe in the way of Advent. And I think this is what should characterise our lives rather than being something that we just do at the end of the year. Taking time to constantly reflect on who we are before God. Dealing with the struggles we each carry. Struggles that we know can overwhelm us. Struggles that often abound with our ability to simply trust God and to let go. Richard Rohr, whose devotions I read regularly and I find helpful, speaks of the association of joy with aha moments. I like that term. These are moments when we die a little more to our own self and our own will and enter more into the present moment. These are the times when the Spirit of Jesus kisses us deep within, and there's a revelation that often is associated with these moments that doesn't come from here, it comes from here. And they're the revelatory moments that we go, aha. They're the moments that penetrate deep within us and release us into a deeper sense of freedom within God. These aha moments provide us with an ongoing access to the joy of the Lord, the joy that awakens us to the divine image within each of us. These moments are not rare. God's not hiding from any of us. God wants us to be found faithful and to be found open to his leading in our lives. Jesus encouraged those early Christians, those early believers, calling them to be steadfast, calling on them not to give up, but to continue to patiently engage in the practices of faith, praying and hoping together, reading the scriptures, sharing the sacraments, seeking justice, loving kindness, and letting these things shape us as we seek to live in right relationship with each other and with God's good earth. And in doing this, we keep seeking the reign of God, the shalom which never fully arrives, but which we glimpse again and again, here and now, in small ways and in small things. And I hope for each of you with lots of aha moments. I've really loved my time with you at Canberra Baptist Church. I've loved the quiet but very firm faithfulness that you have practiced in this community. I'm very grateful for having been invited to be able to share in that with you. I've loved sharing in the local ministries of the Veranda and Irene's Place. I've loved the opportunities to pray together, to share together in worship, to pursue and stand for the social justice issues that have been important to us as a community. I'll always hold dearly the marches for refugees we've attended, the many memories of fundraising and the prayer dinners we've had for those communities struggling around the world, and the very special place of the Prayers for Peace community, giving some expression for that longing that we have for the peace of God's kingdom. But most of all, I'm just very grateful for you personally and the grace that you've shown myself and my family. Thank you. But to myself, I include in this last challenge, let's not get complacent. Please remain faithful. Please keep meeting together. Do seek to find new ministries that will continue to put us in close proximity with those who need hope. And in doing so, hold on to our hope. Hope for the radical, hope for the impossible changes that are necessary for our world, hope for miracle upon miracle. And hope that when the time comes, we will be found to have been good and faithful stewards of the earth and can stand with our heads held high. And in doing so, we hope for the coming of the one who is the very source of life, of goodness, and of all our hope. The one who seeks willing workers in the field, the one whose coming promises to bring healing to the earth, and with it, our redemption. Keep hoping.